So we're kind of in the third part of our series called Not a Fan, and what we're really just walking through this book called Not a Fan by Kyle Eidelman. It's kind of just a complimentary, kind of going through it and kind of complimenting the messages. But we're actually looking at scriptures as well, where Jesus had this thing where he'd come up to people, or at certain times in people's walk, he'd say, "Come and follow me." And then these people would get up and follow him. Last week, we kind of talked about and kind of discovered a couple of really unique things about following Jesus. First of all, you have to be a sinner to actually follow Jesus. It's actually a prerequisite. You have to actually identify in your heart and your soul that there's something broken here. And it's so broken, you can't put it back together. There's nothing in this world that can put you back together. There's no way you can reach God. But it's like when you come to the point where you recognize that you've sinned and you fall short of God's glory, all of a sudden you reach out and then you can start following Jesus. And he says, "Come and follow me." But he doesn't say get your life cleaned up. He says, "Just come and follow me." And then he begins to reveal himself. We also discovered something that was a little bit different too. To follow Jesus, you don't even have to be a believer. Some of you are here this morning, maybe you don't really believe in Jesus yet, and you're kind of checking him out. Well, just by you being here, you're starting to follow. You're starting to investigate. And Jesus tells people at those stages, just come and follow me. Just right where you're at. If you remember Matthew, tax collector. He walks up to Matthew, and the tax collector is the sinner of sinners, the worst, the bottom of the barrel in their culture. He walks up to him and he says, "Come and follow me." He doesn't say, "Matthew, get your life cleaned up. Matthew, give up tax collecting. Matthew, do this. Matthew, do this." He just says, "Come on, come and follow me. Just kind of explore me." Here's what Jesus really knew. If people would walk with him and people would investigate him and rub shoulders with him, over time, what happens is they start to understand who he is. They start to realize how much he loves you. And then all of a sudden they start loving him back and saying, "Wow, it's an amazing thing that God did." So if you're an unbeliever this morning, meaning you haven't confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're just starting to investigate, then Jesus is just saying to you, "Just come on, just come and follow me right where you're at. It's okay." I mean, think of the early disciples. Not one of them really believed like we believe now. What I mean, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he came in human flesh, but fully God, and he walked the earth, and he died, and he rose from the grave, and he's ascended and sits at the right hand of the Father. Those guys didn't believe that. They didn't know that. But yet they stepped up and they began to follow him right where they're at. And then what happens, it's kind of a process, following Jesus, is over your lifetime, what happens, eventually you look in a mirror and you go, "Oh my goodness, I've changed. Something's happened." It's not because you wanted to change. It's not because you did the right things or believed the right things. It's because you started to walk with Jesus. And what Jesus does, he changes you from the inside out. And then all of a sudden one day you wake up and go, "Wow, I've really changed." And a lot of you have that story where you were this before, and then God made you into something incredible later because you put your faith in him and you started following right where you were. Now, there was a lot different with the Pharisees. The Pharisees kind of looked at people and said, "If you want to follow us, you got to join us," meaning you got to become like us. You got to know the things. You got to know the right doctrines. You got to be able to pass this test. And if you can do all these things, then you're part of it. But Jesus' call wasn't into a religious system. And it's not, his call today is not into a religious system. In fact, Jesus would say that it's not a religious system that you're invited into. You're invited into a relationship with him, not a religious system. But the religious system was like, do this, do that, and then you can join us. Jesus came along and he really upset the religious people. And what I tell you, a lot of religious people don't like it when I say this either. Jesus said, "Tell you what, just come as you are. I don't care how sick you are, what sin you were in last night, what sin you were in last year. I don't care. Just come and follow me." And here's the thing about Jesus. He says, "If you come and follow me, I will change you." And we see this with the disciples over and over. So this morning, we're going to kind of open up to the book of Matthew. So if you want to open up to Matthew, we're going to look into Matthew. We're going to look at another story. It's a very familiar story. We're going to look at this story and ask the same question. Are you a follower or just a fan? Now, a fan, if you remember, a fan is somebody who's just kind of sitting on the fence, kind of going, I'm along for the ride. I like all the benefits of Jesus, but when it gets a little bit difficult, maybe life gets a little difficult, or maybe what he's asking you gets a little too difficult, you kind of go, "I'm out of here." Now, a follower is somebody who's saying, "Where you go, I'll go. I don't know where you're going, but I'll go there. Here's my life. I surrender it all to the best of my ability in this moment. I am yours. And I will do the very difficult things. I will give up the things that you're asking me to give up. But the question is the same. Are you a fan or are you a follower? Well, Matthew is an interesting character because he was a tax collector, if you remember us talking about that, and I just said it earlier. He was not really famous in his land, but he's famous now because he became a follower of Jesus, and he wrote a book about Jesus. Now, you have four Gospels if you kind of know the New Testament. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're all written from different guys, and they have a different perspective of the Gospels as far as the Gospels as far as how everything happened in Jesus' life. And they kind of complement each other. They fill in detail where maybe one says this, and the other one adds a little detail here. And what I want to do this morning is I want us to look at Matthew, but I want to compare it with Luke as well. Because I think when we put these side by sides, we'll start to kind of feel a little more comfortable about this follow thing. Because I think a lot of times it's difficult for us to say, okay, I'm all in. Or we hear the story that most of you know what it's going to be, that Jesus just says, come and follow me and give up everything. A lot of people have that's a difficult thing. I think it's very, very hard to kind of say, I can do that, because it's not easy to just say blank and kind of go, here I am, give up blank and, okay, I'm all in, Jesus. That's not the way that people usually came into following Jesus. And some of you might not like the message because it's going to challenge you a little bit different. To look at the scripture from a different perspective. Now, Angie and I went up north on Monday and Tuesday to Charlevoix, which I don't know why we went north, minus 12 degrees. So it was really sunny and balmy. And while we were up there, we were kind of driving from Charlevoix to Traverse City, and this blizzard came in. And you literally couldn't see probably from me to the end of the sanctuary here in front of you. And I mean, it was tense, and Angie and I were tense. In fact, I don't think she talked with me for about an hour, except for kind of sitting there picking her nails, and I was a little bit nervous about the weather because it was a little stressful. Well, we're kind of coming up this point where we're going up this steep incline hill, and they think I have a passing lane. Well, this person all of a sudden just flew by us, and my wife goes, that dumb girl on a phone. I think it was stupid girl, actually, on a phone. And she for some reason, likes to yell at people when they drive by, when they do stupid things. And, you know, she's not yelling, but she's very vocal about it, and I just kind of snicker and laugh about it. But when she went by, I mean, you shouldn't be passing, because the lane we were in was not really clear, but you could at least see the lane. The other lane had probably 3-4 inches of snow on it. And she's, like, crop dusting everybody with snow, and you just can't see a thing after that. And, you know, and we're both kind of yakking back and forth how stupid this person is, and then all of a sudden we crest this hill, and we see this vehicle all of a sudden just shoot off into the ditch, and then you can kind of see some outlines of cars, and I'm trying to stop because there's a Cadillac in front of us going this way, there's a car in front of him going this way, and I'm kind of doing this type of thing, and I'm kind of driving on the side of the road, and she's kind of like looking at me because we're still moving, and we're kind of getting closer to the cars. Well, in my mirror, there's this big truck bearing down on us, and I'm like going, oh great, this is going to be interesting, and then but we all settled down, and we kind of just, you know, for a moment took a breath, and we said, looked in my mirror and said, yeah, that girl's about 200-300 feet, at least maybe 400 feet down in the ditch. And we were kind of laughing because she didn't roll the car. She was fine. But we're like, and that's what you get. That's what you deserve, right? You know, we're kind of thinking that. But the point of this is when we look at these two Gospels is this. People have different perspectives when they see something. And in that instance with Angie and I, what she saw was a dumb girl on a phone driving at ridiculous speeds when you shouldn't be driving at ridiculous speeds. This is what I saw. I saw a young girl on a phone with a black Impala, and I saw her spin out. I saw the Cadillac spin this way, and there was a red Cadillac that actually spun off this way. And then in my mirror, it was a big semi truck that was actually kind of a grayish front with the old-fashioned square lights. And then I saw the guy's facial expression. Point is we see things different. And sometimes when we get the full detail of the story, all of a sudden we go, oh, that's what follow means. Because a lot of people, at least in church, when I say follow, it's frightening, isn't it? When I say give up everything, that's very scary. But what I want you to know this morning, that when these disciples went and followed, they didn't just give up stuff, but they were informed. They didn't just kind of jump into this thing and go, okay, let's go. Jesus taught them. They listened to what Jesus had to say. Then they made an informed decision, and they followed. They didn't know where Jesus was going, But they realized his teachings were amazing. And so as we look at this, I don't want you to be so scared and about following Jesus, but I just want you to get a perspective, because I think there's different steps in the following process. It starts out in verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. Now, I love scripture sometimes, and I love how obvious this is, because Matthew says this next. They were casting nets into the lake. Well, why? For they were fishermen. I mean, don't fishermen cast nets? I mean, it's almost like he had to explain it because of they're simple people. So he says, they're casting nets into the lake for they were fishermen. And then Jesus says, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once, they left their nets and followed him. Now, this is Matthew writing. Matthew's a Jew, writing to the Jews. Jews have big, big faith because they believe in that there's one true God. They already kind of had those beliefs. And so he doesn't give them a lot of detail, it seems like, when he's doing this. But when I read this, I don't know about you, it kind of scares me when it says, at once they left their nets and followed him. I mean, isn't that kind of frightful? It's like this guy with sandals, long hair, and a robe just says, come on, let's go. Just give up everything that you have for me. Well, I don't think it really worked that way, but in the story, as we're looking through it, it appears that way. And I think that's why a lot of people go, I'm not sure if I want to follow. I sure don't know if I want to be a follower because I got to give up everything. And then it goes on. It says, going from there, he saw two other brothers. And the story even gets worse. It says, going from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat, and their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them. And immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Kind of the end of the story in that Gospel of Matthew. I mean, it doesn't sound like a very spiritual story, does it? It sounds very irresponsible, doesn't it? I mean, you got these guys sitting there working with their father. Their father's dependent on them. They got all the nets laid out before them. They're mending the nets. There's a lot of work to be done. And in my opinion, when I read this, I kind of go, oh, wait a minute, that's not very spiritual. You just left your father with a lot of work. I mean, you just abandoned him completely and just say, okay, Dad, go tell Mom, we're going to go follow this guy who just showed up by the seashore here and said, come and follow me. It doesn't sound right when I hear this. It's because we're missing some details. Because in the book of Luke, if you want to turn to Luke, we're going to head there, Luke chapter 5 next. It gives us a lot more detail. And about following is not just so much of this blind follow, but it's this listen first. It's like gather the information, and then you make an informed decision. I mean, and we're going to kind of see this in the scriptures. And we can see this when people start to follow Jesus. They start to investigate him first. They open up his word and they start reading some of his words. They come to a church or they go to a Bible study or they know a Christian friend and they start to investigate. That's how follow starts quite often. And you can kind of even see this in the scriptures. But kind of keep in mind where this is taking place. This is on the Sea of Galilee. Now, I kind of have a picture up here of the Sea of Galilee. It's not just like a small lake, okay? You got to get this in your mind. It's over 64 square miles. So this is huge. And kind of nestled in between mountains. Quite often storms, winds would come over the mountains and then would make this sea very rough. Their main livelihood was fishing. And what's really unique is today you can go to Israel and you can jump on one of those boats like that and you can go on the Sea of Galilee too. And this is what Christians quite often do. I had a friend of mine who was trying to talk me into going to Israel, and I thought, well, that would be really fun, but then he gave me the price, and I thought, well, that's a pretty extreme. He's already went with a couple other pastors, and he says, you got to go, you got to go. And he's in one of our cluster meetings, and he started to tell me about the story that when they were there on the Sea of Galilee. And he said it was kind of one of those magical moments because you started thinking about the story of Matthew, and you're sitting by the edge of the water, and Jesus coming and saying, come on, follow me, and just dropping everything and go. And he said, he started thinking about that. And then he's out on the boat, and they get kind of a bunch of other people on the boat, and they're all Christians as well, because that's what Christians do. They go to the Sea of Galilee. and they want to kind of ride on the water on these boats. And then they said this pastor was kind of, every now and then, would give a little devotional while they're on the boat. And they were kind of a separate group from this group. They said that the group that they weren't part of was very charismatic. And they were hooping it up. And they put Chris Tomlin on. And they're singing and dancing and kind of shouting. And he's like, going, okay, I'm not comfortable doing any of that stuff. But, you know, he said it was kind of unique watching it. And then he said the pastor did something really weird. They stopped the boat. And he reached over with a little bucket and took water and poured it on the decking of the boat. And he looked at everybody and he says, okay, now everybody, let's walk on the Sea of Galilee together like Jesus did. And then this guy kind of looks at him and goes, don't you guys want to go home and tell everybody that you walked on the Sea of Galilee? And he's like, he actually videotaped this, so I got to see it. And it's hilarious because they just kind of said, no, but we're going to tell your story anyways, because they thought that was kind of odd. Kind of different. But the Sea of Galilee is just an incredibly big body of water, and it was kind of the hub of where Jesus started his ministry. That's why there's so much kind of love associated with the Galilee and the Sea of Galilee, because Jesus was there. Jesus walked there. And the main source was fishing. That was their main livelihood. In fact, the fishermen were quite wealthy usually in their culture. Farmers were a lot more wealthy than they are in our culture. But you kind of have these dynamics going on in the picture. But then you come along to Luke, and Luke just kind of starts to kind of blend everything together just a little bit more, and kind of fits the pieces about following together. And he starts in verse 1 of chapter 5. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee. And now, if you remember, Matthew's account didn't tell us that. Didn't say that Jesus was standing by it. And then it goes on and it says, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God. More information, in other words. There's more things that were going on that Matthew didn't clue us into. And all of a sudden you kind of have this image that Jesus is teaching. He's talking about God's word. He's telling them, this is what God is like. And people are like going, whoa. Or here's this scripture, and then people are going, wow, we've never heard it taught like that before. And they start kind of crowding in on him, and you can almost get the sense that they're kind of getting ready to push him into the lake because they're getting closer and closer because they want to be closer to him. And then what happens is Jesus kind of looks around and goes, well, what am I going to do? You know, am I going to fall in the water or am I going to keep teaching? But I think the key part is in this phrase here. It says, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, I think this is very important, and it's something that we have to kind of understand, that when you go to follow Christ, it's about listening, it's about being informed, it's about getting a picture of who Jesus really is and who God really is, and even asking questions. And getting those answers. It's getting into the Word of God and actually going into it and reading about who Jesus is and what he did. That's kind of the first step, listening and gathering the information, if you will. And this is what the disciples were doing. This is what Peter and Simon were doing. They were sitting there, it tells us. And we're going to read about that in a little bit. But they were sitting there. They were listening. They were taking it all in first. They didn't just kind of jump up and have like this blind faith that we keep talking about in the Christian circles. It's not a blind faith. It's an informed faith. Because you hear the Word of God, and the Word of God is true. And you take those truths and you start sifting through those truths. And those truths, once you start to believe those truths or you start to take those truths in, all of a sudden faith is sparked once we see these incredible truths that are found in God's word, along with the power of God's spirit working inside of us. It's not like all of a sudden I just go, boom, I'm following you and I'm giving it all up. I'm giving everything up. It doesn't usually happen like that. But it's like you're listening, you're receiving, and you're gathering all that information together. And then you kind of have this scene with Jesus. So people are gathering. You know, you had a lot of people who wanted to hear what he had to say. And then Jesus is getting ready to get pushed in the water. They're crowding him and crowding him. Verse 2. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Well, the fishermen or the two brothers, And you have some other brothers that are together. So you have all these fishermen that are kind of gathered there. And you got to get this in their culture. This is one of the things that they would do. They would kind of, after they would go out fishing, they would come back to shore. They would take all of their nets out and they would lay them usually on posts or maybe across some of the boats that they brought up on shore. And they would take all the debris that they might have got in their nets. They would kind of mend their nets and repair those so that way fish wouldn't slip through if they ripped one of them. And they wanted those nets to dry out in the sun, because if you didn't dry the nets out and you went out fishing again in the evening, it'd be very difficult. So this is like kind of the normal thing that these guys would do. They're sitting around, they're working. And it tells us that Jesus is getting crowded by people and he's been teaching them, and they're listening to the Word of God. These guys are there listening to the Word of God at this point and teaching. And then Jesus kind of is at the water's edge and he sees these boats out there. And then it says verse 3. It says, he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out just a little bit further from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Can you kind of get, when you overlay these two stories, can you kind of see where the fuller picture about the follow is about, first of all, listening and making an informed decision? I mean, because right now, Peter is in the boat with Jesus. Peter is probably maybe mending a net, doesn't say what he's doing. But it says that Jesus is teaching from the boat. And Jesus is probably teaching, and I know what he's teaching, God's word. And he's teaching, and Peter's sitting there. And Jesus sits down and continues to teach, because it must have been a long sermon because he had to sit down. And so he's teaching and teaching. And meanwhile, you have these guys sitting there. They're listening. And then what happens is Jesus kind of takes these people just a little bit further. Because in following Jesus, it's always about making steps. It's you don't all of a sudden, bam, you arrive one day and you're a follower. What happens with Jesus, it's over time, you slowly become the follower that he wants you to become. Yes, it takes a commitment. Yes, it takes some risk to step out. But Jesus kind of works things in us and through us. And then all of a sudden, we start believing the right things. We know the right things. And it's all Jesus doing it all. But as he does this, it's a process. It's not just like, bam, you arrive. It doesn't work like that. Because these disciples, if you flesh this out further in Scripture, they didn't really believe that he was the Son of God yet when they followed. They just knew that there's something different. Peter kind of acknowledges in the story that who he thinks he is. But later on, he really confesses. And the story kind of goes on. Jesus, you know, is teaching, is sitting down in the boat. And then it goes in verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, and which is Peter, he could have said anything, honestly, at this point. Simon, what I want you to do is I want you to go and I want you to give up your family. I want you to give up your job. Simon, what do you think about that message? Simon, I would like you to do this. Or Simon, I would like you to do that. Peter, I'd like you to do this. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus kind of goes, Peter, just to help you out in your faith a little bit, I want you to do something that you've done 1,000 times before. But this time, I want you to do it a little bit different than you've done it before. I mean, you're comfortable, Peter, with fishing, right? Yep, I'm comfortable with fishing. That's what I do for a living. Okay, Peter, let's go there. Let's walk through this. And with your little tiny faith that you have right now, because you see that there's something different in my teachings, let me take that little tiny faith and blend it with me. And when I blend it with me, it's going to explode. And then what happens, this is what he says. He says in verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. I mean, this is wrong for several reasons, honestly. First of all, Jesus is a builder. He's not a fisherman, right? I mean, if you're a fisherman, you know that this is wrong to do, because it will tell us that they were out later at night fishing. They're in the Sea of Galilee. What happens during the day, the sun comes up, heats up the shallow water, the fish migrate out to the deeper water. And so they, at nighttime is when they fish, because the fish, when the water starts to cool down after the sun goes down, they migrate back into the shallow water. And so then you put your nets out and you catch them in the shallow water. One, it's safer. You're closer to shore. You don't have to, because the Sea of Galilee, storms came up out of nowhere, and it's extremely deep. And so I can just imagine what Peter's going, oh, this is a little bit different. You want me to do something? And Jesus comes along and says, I want to inconvenience you, Peter. First of all, I want you to push the boat out just a little bit and let me preach. And then I want you to go fishing with me. I want you to do something that you've done it 1,000 times before, Peter. I mean, you're a fisherman. But I'm just asking you this time, can you do it in a different way? You know what was on the line here? Peter trusting Jesus. Peter, through what Jesus is starting to show him and what he's going to do, all of a sudden Peter begins to really trust Jesus. Yeah, he's listened, he's heard the great teachings, but at that point, he's just going, he's just a good teacher. Because look at what he says next in verse 5. It says, Simon answered, Master. You notice he doesn't say, Lord. You notice he doesn't say, you know, King of Kings. He just says Master. And Master in this context is more like he's a really good teacher, or like in our culture in Star Wars, you have a Jedi Master. They're really good at teaching somebody something. And so Peter is very polite to Jesus, because obviously Peter's like going, boy, he's really smart. His teachings are like nothing I've ever heard before. And as I've been sitting here mending my nets, listening and receiving and listening, gathering information, I think there's something different about him. And, you know, some people would even say that Simon and a lot of the other disciples knew Jesus even earlier before this, because they said that Jesus' uncle owned, lived in that village of Galilee and owned like a fishing outfit. And so some people think that could be, I don't know, that's a possibility. But you just picture, these disciples are getting to know Jesus through teachings, through truths that he's teaching. You know, the only way that you and I can get to know Jesus is through actually being in the Word of God. That is the only way that we can really understand and begin to follow him. Because in our culture, and I'm watching in our culture where the Bible is no longer looked at as truth and absolute. There's one of the mega pastors that used to be in Grand Rapids said point blank that they're good letters, but they're outdated. I don't know where people are going with the Word of God. If the Word of God is not absolute, and if it is not absolute truth, we have nothing to hold on to. We have nothing to base our faith in. And there's no hope anymore. Because the Word of God is true. The Word of God is what builds our faith. It even inspires us to get into a relationship with God. The Word of God is everything. So Jesus is teaching the Word of God to these guys. And they're going, great teachings. Incredible. Then tells us, and Simon answered, Master, boy, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. In other words, Jesus, this isn't going to work. We've worked so hard, and last night we didn't get any fish. And we just finally got our nets mended. They're just finally getting dry. We finally just rolled them up and got them ready for this evening. We just want to go home. We're tired. And as you know, Peter's kind of sitting there going, Jesus, this is kind of embarrassing, because there's a bunch of people on the shore. If you haven't noticed, there's a huge crowd here. And this huge crowd, they're going to look at me as a fisherman and go, he doesn't know what he's doing. In fact, he's kind of insane. Because you don't go fishing during the afternoon. You just don't do that. And then you have Peter kind of going, we haven't caught anything. And then it goes on. He says, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. And what's at stake here is Peter's faith and trust in Christ. And what's really unique is it says, but because you say so. Not because I think this, not because I believe this, but because you say so, I'm going to do this. There's no other reason, because I've seen this. I've seen that you're a great teacher. I've seen the Word of God displayed like I've never seen before, and I'm intrigued by that. I haven't seen anybody like this. He said, but because of you, I'm going to do it. Because you say so, I'm going to do something that I've done 1,000 times in a different way. Because I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I'm going to let you lead this. And I'm going to do something that sounds really crazy, and everybody's going to look at me and think, oh, that's really not very smart to do. But because, Jesus, you say to do it, I'm going to do it. Now, what would have been interesting if Jesus could have, instead of, told him to do this, could have pulled back kind of the sheet of time, you know, kind of showed him, you know, the future, and kind of pulled back the veil, if you will, and said, Peter, you know, this is what you're going to get if you make a decision to follow me. Because I mean, Jesus could have took a picture like this and kind of let you see and say, you know, Peter, look at this. Peter, if you follow me, If you obey me, this is going to be your tomb. I mean, isn't this grand? This is the St. Peter's Basilica. You know, and everybody knows about it. This is like the crowning jewel of the Renaissance period. And he could just say, Peter, if you follow me, if you take me fishing, this is what's going to happen. Now, just imagine if Peter wouldn't have took some steps of faith. Wouldn't have said, okay, I've listened, I've received that. Now you're asking me to do something that's uncomfortable. You're inconveniencing me. Okay, I'm making that step. Imagine what hung in the balance. We wouldn't even know who Peter is. He would have been just a fisherman that died by the Sea of Galilee. Not a disciple of Christ who started the church. Not a saint. I mean, Peter, if Jesus would have pulled back the veil and said, look at this, and Peter would have said, yeah, let's go fishing. I'll follow you. I mean, that's what's going to happen. But Jesus didn't do that. It's about trust in him. So Jesus kind of works through and he says in verse 6, he said, when they had done so, so they had to do something. It wasn't that they just believed it. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled for their parents in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. I mean, just think about that. Think about all of a sudden you didn't catch anything. Now you have a big load of fish. So much so that they load up another boat and it's almost sinking again because there's so many. Now, we'd be tempted to look at the fish. We'd be tempted to kind of take the fish and go, isn't that amazing miracle? Isn't that, I mean, we're going to be rich now because we're going to sell these fish. Not Peter. Peter in that moment, all of a sudden his heart just begins to reach out to and go, okay, I know who you are now. You've just done something that I've never seen anybody do. I've fished thousands upon thousands of times, and I've never seen this before. But Jesus, you just did something incredible. And this is what Simon says. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. This is a significant moment in Peter's life. This is when Peter realizes who he is, a sinful man, and he recognizes that Jesus is Lord. And he recognizes in that moment that he's not worthy to be in the presence of Jesus because of who he is. But Jesus reaches down and says, will you follow me? I want you to be with me. And then it goes on in verse 9. It says, for he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James, John, the son of Zebedee. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. I mean, they were probably terrified at this point. From now on, you will catch men. Jesus says, I have something very important to tell you. I want you to follow me. I want you to come with me, but it's going to change your life. Instead of pursuing all the worldly things, you're going to be pursuing things that are for my Heavenly Father to bring Him glory. He says, instead of you guys being fishermen, you're going to be fishers of men. And all of a sudden, these guys are like, yeah, we're going to go. We'll go. Why wouldn't they go? I mean, they just saw an incredible thing happen, but they had no clue what Jesus meant by follow him and make fishers of men. I don't think they had any clue what that meant. They had no clue what they would go through. Every one of them but one lost their lives and was martyred. Every one of them. Several of them crucified on crosses, boiled in oil. I mean, you name it, it happened to them because of Jesus. But Jesus says, here's where I'm taking you. And they're like, we'll go. We'll go. And then look at what happens in verse 2. So they pulled their boats to shore and they left everything and they followed him. I think in the scripture, what we can really see really clearly is that there's probably about at least four phases of following that I think we just need to understand, because I don't want you to get so focused on that, okay, I got to give up everything. I mean, somebody said last week, they're like, well, you said alcohol, and I don't want to give up alcohol. I want to have an occasional drink. I want to have an occasional glass of wine. Or somebody said, I said you had to give up this relationship or a job. I'm not telling you to give up any of those things. Don't hear that. God is asking you probably to give up something in your life. I don't know what it is. Those are just things that I know that quite often Jesus kind of works in our lives, and he says, you're going to have to give this up. If you really mean that you want to follow me, if you really want to be committed to me, and you really want the world to see who you are, that you're mine, you're going to have to give this stuff up. You know, and I don't know what it is for you. But we can kind of see in these phases. The first phase you kind of see is the sit and listen phase. To start to follow Jesus. You look at the disciples in this story. When you put the whole story together, they just sat there and listened. Some of you this morning, you came in here this morning, you didn't realize you started to become a follower of Jesus because you're sitting and you're just listening. And as you take that information in, and as you see these truths, your step is simply just to continue to explore. Continue to gather the information that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that God loves you, that God wants to be in an intimate relationship with you. Explore that. Understand that He is fully God. Understand that He is ascended and He sits at the right hand of the Father. Explore that. It might not make all sense to you, but get to the point where you go, oh, okay, yeah. He is who He says He is. I know He loves me, and this is how I know. Explore that out. Just sit and listen. Some of you, the next stage is just kind of alone in the boat. You know, if you remember Jesus said, Peter, come on out. You know, let's use your boat. This is a very intimate stage. This is a stage where you're exploring Christ. And maybe you've been exploring Christ for a long time, but you need to make this step. And this step is this. It's inconvenient to follow Christ. It was inconvenient for Peter to get in his boat and launch out from shore because he had all the work to do. Jesus comes along in our lives and says, I want you to get alone in the boat with me, and it's going to be inconvenient. That means that you're going to have to get into a Bible study. It means that you might need to lead a Bible study. It means you might need to help out in youth group. It means that you might need to give more. It means all these different things. I don't know what it means for you. But you know what the next step is, and here's how I know what the next step is in your life. There's that little nagging that every time I speak or every time you hear somebody in the Word of God that you're kind of going, He's asking me to do this. He's asking me to do that. You hear it. It's not me saying it. It's God's Spirit speaking to you individually. But you got to get alone in the boat. And it's going to be inconvenient. It's not going to be fun all the time. It's going to be difficult. But as you go along and you're following Jesus and you want to become a follower, not just a fan, it's very inconvenient. And it's a painful process at times. And then the next stage is taking the fishing stage. This is the exciting stage. I mean, think about Peter. He's taking him fishing. He's doing something. And what Jesus is saying, He says, I want you just to do something that you've done 1,000 times and you're comfortable with it, doing it this way. I just want you to do it different once. The way that you handle your relationships with each other, just try it once different. The way that you handle your money, just try it different once and see what happens. Or your profession, just try to operate this way just once. And I know Jesus always speaks for these areas. He always does, because most people that I know that follow Jesus, these are the areas that quite often that they're also like going, man, I just feel like I'm supposed to do this. I know I'm supposed to do that. It's like you just feel it, like something's beating on the inside of your heart. And that's what you need to do. You need to say, come on, I'm going to go fishing with you, whatever you want to do. I know I don't like to do it this way, but because you say so, I'm going to do it. And in that moment, your trust in Jesus is developed. Your faith all of a sudden just takes a leap. And you see Jesus kind of moving in your life. Now, some of you need to go to this next phase. It's leaving your nets. There's been a lot of you that you've been following, you've been listening. You've been seeing Him, you've been rubbing shoulders with Him, and you've gained way too much information. You need to do something with it. This is the point where you got to get out of the boat and follow Jesus. This is the point where wherever you're at, maybe it's with your family, your coworkers, your friends, your neighbor, you got to start becoming Jesus to them. You got to start spreading the gospel message, because the gospel message, the truths that are found in the Word of God, those are life-changing words. The gospel message will change anybody's life. I dare somebody to read the Bible, the four gospels. I dare you and tell me it doesn't change you with an open heart. For a lot of us, we've been sitting by our nets and we're saying, there's no way I'm going to give up this. There's no way I'm going to give up that. There's no way I'm going to give this up. There's no way I'm going to do this. There's no way. There's no way I'm going to witness. There's no way I'm going to share the gospel. Jesus said to these men, and He says to us, I'm going to make you into fishers of men. Meaning, it's our responsibility. For some reason, God wants to partner with us to spread the gospel message. And we are in a world that needs the gospel truth. The truth, not watered down, not palatable, but the truth. And when they hear the truth, just let them listen, let them listen, let them listen, and let them listen. Because Jesus is saying, come and follow. And he'll change them, not you. You know, and being somebody that goes out and leads your nets, it's not this militant mentality that you turn or burn. It's not that. Do not do that, please. Don't tell anybody they're going to hell if they don't believe in Jesus. You don't know that. But tell them this. Jesus loves you. Jesus knows who you are. Jesus came into this world to bring healing to your heart and your soul. Jesus came into this world so you can have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. And he loves you right where you're at. Just come, follow him, and he'll change your world. That's all we need to do. But we need to base it in the truth. And if you don't know the truth, then you need to take time and investigate. So what's your step? Do you need to keep just coming and listening? Because sometimes you need to listen for a while and gather all the facts. Or maybe you need to put out and get on the water with Jesus a little bit and get in the boat alone with him. Where you're actually starting to get deeper into his word. You're studying his word on your own. You're reading the New Testament and the Old Testament. Where you're actually saying, well, that's inconvenient. I don't have time. Make time. That's all I can say. Make time. You won't regret it. Peter didn't regret his choice. Maybe you need to be a person that says, come on, Jesus, let's go fishing. I'm going to trust you to do something that I've done all my life this way, but you're asking me to do it different? Okay. Or maybe you're the person that says, okay, I've been stunned by the nets, and I've been mending those nets for most of my life. I got to start following him. See, a follower of Christ is somebody who does what Christ does, and Jesus went out and changed the world. So join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, and I thank you that you know us so intimately, that you know that our hearts have to hear who you are and about you before we can really get engaged in you. I thank you for showing the whole details of what it means to follow, that it's a constant surrendering of our lives to you. God, I would ask that you would give us the ability, whatever that next step is, to just lay it down. Just to say, I surrender all of me to you, God. And I want you to be glorified through me and in me. God, just give us the courage to step out and because you say so, do something. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.